Welcome to Juno Afternoon, which today is Huna Afternoon on Friday, May 3rd, 2019. I'm your host, Scott Burton, and along with the KTOO Arts team, we're in Huna for 2 days. I'd like to let you know that support for today's show comes from Icy Strait Lodge, centrally located in Huna and featuring a variety of rooms and on-site restaurant and car and boat rentals. Information at icystraitlodge.com. My first guest today is a group of very special individuals. We have educators, culture bearers, Tlingit language teachers. The list goes on of introductions. We have Daphne Wright is on the show today. We also have Heather Powell and Ralph Watkins here from Huna Schools. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thank you.
Gunas
Chish for being here. Daphne Wright, would you please introduce yourself?
Tlingit Kainach Eska Yuchatuasak Tlikok Kainach Kua Daphne Wright. Tuktentan Ayachat Tug Hit Ka Kasai Hit Duch Filipino Yeti Ayachat.
Goodness cheese. Thank you for being here and thank you for allowing us to be here. Heather Powell, can you please introduce yourself?
Heather Powell. Chukan Sha Aya Chai Hittach Anishinabe Yetke Ach Ishas Bad River Bandach. A joe a lill go has ach dawg anu go llwg na chadi ach tla du is cha chanwg dy sagwn gynnal tis. My name is Llgeiki and I'm Chukan Sha. My family originates from Glacier Bay originally and has come to live in Huna. My father's people are Anishinaabe, Chippewa. My dad's full-blooded Ojibwe from Bad River Band in Minnesota. And my grandparents, on my mother's side, my mother's father is a Tliknachadi Koho. Kachanuk was his name. And his family came to be in Sitka but originated from Yakutat. And I'm also the mother of Datehun, Wandatun Shkate, and Shahu.
Thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for being on the show. Ralph Watkins, superintendent of Huna Schools. It's an honor to have you here as well.
Thank you. My name is Ralph Watkins. I'm the superintendent principal here in Huna. This is my third year in Huna. I feel like I should tell you where I come from. I'm from Los Angeles, Compton area, and thank you for coming. We look forward to having you.
Okay. Daphne Wright, among the reasons that we are here, but perhaps the centerpiece of our visit here, and we're so honored to be here for it, is the Huna Schools Heritage Celebration Kuik, which takes place on Friday here in Huna. Can you explain to our listeners what this celebration is, please?
Well, we have been doing this celebration since 1991, I believe, was our first one. And so we call it a heritage celebration. And the word kuik in Tlingit means people are invited. So there are different kinds of events called kuik. Most of the time these days, they are memorials. They're very serious events, and they're remembering people who have passed on, and they're thanking the opposites, that the purpose of those basically is to thank the opposites for the help they gave when someone passed on and to remember our ancestors. And it's that is the centerpiece of our Tlingit culture right now, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Yes. But ours, the purpose of ours is a different one. It's a happy occasion, and we are celebrating. We're celebrating what we're learning. We're celebrating our Tlingit culture and our language. And every year we do this because we want to show the community what we're up to and the kinds of things that we have been able to learn. And this community turns out in force, those that can make it come, and they're always so happy to see the children, and it gives us a boost. It kind of tells us, yes, what you're doing is good, and we want you to do it, and we want you to keep on, and it gives the children a boost mm-hmm. on being able to show what they've learned. Yep.
I think that that's one of those things that's really an amazing part of Hoonah City Schools and the community that we foster in the schools and in the community that our families live within, is that there's been, since as long as I can remember, since our grandparents were in the schools teaching, you know, that their sense of pride is something that carries them through. You know, Tlingit people in general have such resiliency. You know, Indigenous people have such resiliency, but there's so many stories of creation and migration specifically that adhere to our Hunakawu when we came from Glacier Bay, and all of those things that have tied us into the identity of who we are and what brought us to this place. And I think that this kuik has been one of those huge pieces that every year recharges our community. It's seeing our children stand up there, and the work that Kashke has done is, it's amazing. You know, the folks that she has worked with throughout the years are all gone now. And in many instances, you could take that thought, and it could be a very solemn thought. But what the school has created by bringing that sense of identity forward has given it strength by saying, this is who you are, by having their introductions set, by knowing where they come from, having reinforcement throughout the school that those are important pieces of every individual person, both Tlingit and non-Native. That's something that's really been, I think, is a huge piece of why it's so important. It's so inclusive. There's balance between both Eagle and Raven, but for those that don't fall under Eagle or Raven, they're still a part of our family, you know, and many of them have been given names that represent their personalities or the strengths that they carry. So I think that those are some of the amazing pieces about this kuik, is that it's something of sensing identity, the strengths, but also reinforces the ties we have with the community about resiliency.
Hey, thank you very much. Ralph Watkins, this will be your fourth kuik, is that right?
Yes.
And in a way, this is almost what brought you to this community. Tell us that story, please.
I would probably say it's not even in a way. It is what was probably the determining factor in me deciding to come here. The superintendent that hired me, she said to me on the phone, she says, if you really want to know about the Tlingit people, you should come to the kuik. And my first question was, the what? And she explained to me a little bit about what the kuik was, and I said, yeah, I got to see that. And so 4 Aprils ago, I got on a plane and I came to Hoonah, and I get a little when I talk about it, but it was probably one of the most powerful cultural events that I had ever been to. It's hard to, when you hear what Heather and Duffy were talking about the Tlingit culture and the resiliency, for a person of color, that just resonates with me. We have so much in common about our histories and the trauma that is a part of our histories and how we rose from that. I mean, Africans are about 240 years removed from slavery, and look at all that we have become. Look at the resilience of of our people. And so when I came to the Kweek and I saw what the kids were doing and I heard the stories, and it said to me, here is a people who are committed to making sure that their culture survives, that their children and their children's children know who they are, Hakusiai, who they are. And that's what every parent, every grandparent, every mother, every father, brothers, that's what they want for their own children, to know who they are and take that and become who they can be from that. And that was my takeaway from the Kweek. And I just wanted to be a part of that, not just for my own selfish reasons, but I wanted to make sure that this school never lost that, that they had someone who was here in administration who got it, who supported it, and who will continue to make sure that events like this remain a part of the school.
Thank you. Daphne Wright, I understand that you all have been working on getting towards this Kweek for most of the year. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the preparation that you've been doing to get ready for this?
Well, one of the traditions that we have had is that the students in fifth grade, I'm not exactly sure how it started that it's fifth graders, but they get to stand up in front of the whole town and all their classmates and everyone in the whole school, and they get to say their traditional Tlingit introduction. They get to tell their name. They get to talk about their family and their clan, their other side of their family, and who their grandparents are. And in order to do that, we have to sometimes find out. We have to find out. We have to call mom, and mom goes, well, I'm not sure. We need to ask auntie. And sometimes what we find out is we know their clan, but we don't know their name because they might not have been given a name yet, a traditional clan-owned name. And that's where the nicknames come in. And so if we have a non-native student, they're going to get a Tlingit nickname. But sometimes we have a native student who has a Tlingit nickname also because they haven't been given their official clan name yet. And sometimes that gets that happening. The family might then decide, well, we need to get this done, and then how is that done? So, because it's a very important thing. It's a heavy thing when you're given a name. You're supposed to know where it came from and who it belonged to. And sometimes there's a story. Recently, we had a student who was here. It was Chukunedi, and he did not have his name yet. And we actually had a naming in school, thanks to Heather. And so she and another family member came to school, and we met with the students in the elementary, and she presented his name and told the story. It was really powerful, and sheesh for doing that. So the kids really learned a lesson there. But the nicknames are good. Sometimes the nicknames go with them. I've been to immersion retreats where someone got a nickname. She's still using it, Yaitk. Yaitk, that was a nickname to start with, and then it just becomes their name. So when you're there tomorrow, you're going to hear there's a Khaklakachk, little porcupine. And there's one of the other students is Nagase, and that's her nickname. Someday she'll get a real Wushkiton name. Yeah, and Hadadushi. So Nagase is Red Fox, and Hadadushi is a name for tiger or mountain lion. So their nicknames are special too, and that might be their Tlingit name that they're going to have. So that's kind of a centerpiece of the Kweek for me, is to get these fifth graders ready for their public speaking and to get their information, be able to say it in Tlingit, and to translate it for the audience, tell the audience in English what they just said. So the big one. Now, on a lighter side, can I tell this part? Okay. On a lighter side, but also not a small thing, the third graders are going to do a skit, and it's called Gusawayanik, Where Does It Hurt? And so there's going to be a doctor's office, and patients are going to come in with their complaints, and the doctor is going to administer to them. So they're going to be speaking all in Tlingit, and we have a translator who's telling the audience what all the Tlingit that's going on means. So we have an English translator for the audience who might not understand otherwise. But the third graders know what they're saying. So those are the two I'd like to bring up. One more serious, but they're both traditions now. We've got to have a skit, and we have to do our fifth grade speeches. Yeah.
Heather, what's been a highlight of preparation for you this year?
So it's not just this year, but I think it's every year that it's a really inclusive event. You know, it works all the way from Head Start and preschool. So we have our youngest, even 3 years old. You should have heard them practicing right before we got up here, that preschool group, their drummer. She's knocks it out of the park. You're going to see it tomorrow. But it's that age all the way up. So we have preschool all the way up to 12th grade. And this year we have six seniors. And every year it's different. For the past few years, we have made sure that we're working towards making all of the students their own regalias. And that's something that's really important. You know, for the past 3 or 4 years, we've created new songs. And those songs have come out. And at times there are, sometimes there's things that, let's say they're clan property. And there's that line that you don't know if you're crossing the line when you're bringing them into school or if it's something that's going to be well received or... But what I can tell you is that when students are connected to their land and students are knowledgeable in their culture as well as their language, and they use those teachings and those things that are inside of them to create things that are gifted back to the community, there's really nothing more special than seeing that happen. And today I walked in and Kashke was just finishing up her preschool practice. And to hear these 3, 4, and 5-year-olds singing a song that our seniors from 2015-16 wrote, that song has become a part of Hoonah City Schools. You know, it's as though they have found a way to become our at'u'u. Our at'u'u is that most precious thing that each clan has. You know, you see your grandparents, they dress up their grandchildren in these amazing regalias. And it's that love that you see grandparents give to grandchildren, that not everybody is blessed with having grandparents their whole life. But when you can see a high school student gift something that's intangible and actually understand what that means, to give a song to your school, to your family, to your community, and then after they're gone and graduated, you see these young ones still singing these songs. Those types of things are things that you prepare for your whole life. And so those things are preparations that we're making, but to see the transition every year as the students are getting older and older and taking their responsibilities, I don't want to say taking on more responsibilities, but maybe having a deeper understanding of what their responsibility as a human being is. So the preparations that you'll see are that we're wanting them to have regalia, something that's tangible. We're wanting them to, you know, work with their aunties to figure out the stories of their clans, work with their uncles to figure out and know their traditional places of harvesting and how those things happen. So those pieces are very important. But just as important is that intangible piece of their responsibility to their community, to their schools, to their families. So in preparing this year I just had a child. So my son is 7 months old. And so this will be his first ku'ik. But in the midst of that, our junior high and our high school students, we have an elective phase that's going on. So they're doing many different things to prepare. But holistically as a school, they're working on their presentations. They're working on their songs. They're working on their regalias. They're working on their dancing. They're working on their Tlingit language. They're working on the gifts that they're going to prepare that are going to be presented. But more so, I think, they're working on becoming a stronger person and a stronger family.
Thank you. Adding on to this, Ralph Watkins, you took us on a tour of the school, and you showed us the shop class where students are building a wall to be framed in for a house. You told us about the driving program. And then you took us to Heather's class where you showed us looms that had been made in the shop class and were hung with small raven's tail works. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All of this, I believe you called it place-based education. What would you add to that? It all seems tangible. Are things that are coming to mind culture-based?
I would just say that our approach here in Huna is about the whole child, and you can't educate the mind of a child and not uplift the spirit of a child, and you can't uplift the spirit of anyone by denying them who they are. So by them not being represented in the school would be a disservice to them. So we make it a point to try and make sure that our school represents our community. When I first came here 3 years ago, that was my mission, was to bridge the gap and the divide that had been developing between our school and our community. And one of the reasons was, as was said to me, the school doesn't represent our community. Well, we're changing that every day by the things that we do. And it's paying dividends. As you'll see tomorrow, this gym will be filled with not just our students, but with our community members singing and dancing and celebrating right along next to our students and our teachers. You watch them. It's something else. I mean, this is an event for all of us. And I know you asked them what are they looking forward to? What have they been preparing for? I've been working on my dancing. Last year I was honored to wear regalia from Carol Williams, who's a longtime teacher at Huna, and she honored me by letting me wear her regalia to dance in, and I felt about as Tlingit as everyone else in that regalia, and I'm looking forward to it again.
It was magical.
I'm looking forward to it again. I actually have my own Tlingit jam that I'm super excited about. I can't wait.
Every time he hears this certain song that he's talking about, you see him, he'll just come. So I got to tell you, he's got gymnastics in his background, first of all. But he comes in, and I tell you what, he is cutting a rug. And one day he came in, and we were drumming. And I said, look at you with your blue suede shoes. Last year at the Kuik, he literally had blue suede shoes on. He came out, and he was cutting a rug, just like he had done it his entire life.
Yeah. Daphne, yesterday, Ralph reminded us about just how special the Kuik is, and we were reminded of how honored we will be to attend. And he said, be present. It'll be tempting to take lots of pictures and do other media stuff, which is what we do as media people. But he said, just try and be present. What other advice would you have for us tomorrow as we join you for the celebration?
So that's quite so cool.
Well, you're going to have to figure out if you're an eagle or a raven first of hand. And so I'm an eagle and she's a raven, so we may have to do a ceremony before we leave.
So the students at our school who are non-Tlingit, when they first come here, they get to decide maybe if they're the oldest of the siblings. If it's a group of siblings, the oldest one gets to decide what side do they want to be on? So then they're always going to be either an honorary raven or an honorary eagle. And they don't say that. They don't say, I'm an honorary eagle. They say, I'm an eagle. And they are, because we don't have students at our school that don't belong on one side or the other. But the rule is you don't switch back and forth depending on which group is the host one year and which group is the guest, because we alternate. We try to create that balance that's in the Tlingit culture, and we do that by alternating. This year the ravens are hosts, and next year the eagles will be hosts. So, and the students who are honorary eagles or ravens, they're just eagles or ravens, and that's what they are. And in their speech, you'll see a non-native student up there, and he's a raven. Is he a raven? And we just have another boy who's an eagle, mm-hmm. And they're not Tlingit, but they're...
Kunakawu.
They are, and they're part of it. They're part of our school.
And I would just add this, and this is something that happened last year that I thought was... pretty amazing. So the thing about the Kuik and this heritage celebration is it reminds everyone of who they are. And we have students, we're about 85% Tlingit, but then we have a diverse population of students. Well, we had one student who wanted to represent all of who she was. And so she did her greeting in Tlingit because she's part Tlingit. She's part Hispanic. So she did a greeting in Spanish and she did a greeting in English. But to me, that was just amazing because she started to figure out who she was, that she was more than just this or more than just this, and she wanted to honor all of it. And that's huge. That's a big takeaway. That's a life lesson that all of us that experience that will take away with us.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of inclusivity. That's sort of a sub-theme of our conversation for sure, identity. How about you, Heather? Can you give us something to look for tomorrow?
You know, every year that I've attended, since before I even moved home, I would make every effort I could to come over because I really, really enjoy listening to the kids. Now, if it was my first Kuik, I would make sure and I would really, really keep my eye on those youngest students. And I'll tell you what, those youngest students are the ones that are always looking at everything that's happening throughout the day. And the younger they are, the less attention span they have, but the more attentive they are for whatever reason. Everything is so new and so fresh and so exciting to them. It's their first time they've been to Kuik, or it's the first time that they were able to perform on the big stage where they've watched all of their family perform. Now, when you see these young children, you see them and they all have a twinkle in their eye, but when you see them in their regalia, it's not just them. They're carrying their ancestors with them. And from a young age, they know that. When we were young, we were always taught, "Tlath chis chet aya ha lilk uhas yadu tzu." It's not just me, but my grandparents are here also. Ha shukakawu, our ancestors. And it's true to this day that all of those things are so very important to our children. That's how you teach respect. That's how you eliminate bullying. That's how you create opportunities for students to work together. And that's how you increase the ability for communities to be healthy from the inside out. You tell them who they are. You give them the tools that they need to be strong human beings. So if I were you, I'd keep my eye on those kiddos.
I will. We will. That's Heather Powell. Thank you so much. Gunashchish. We've also been speaking with Daphne Wright and Ralph Watkins. It's been an absolute honor. Thank you again for allowing us to be here in the school recording this show. And we can't wait to hang out with you at the Kuik. Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. We are here with a crew of participants in the Kuik. We have Shaga Ish. He is an eighth grader. We have Date Hoon, a sixth grader. Kosh Tana, an eighth grader. And a culture bearer, teacher, longtime educator, language educator, among other things, Heather Powell is with us as well. Gunesh Chish for everyone for being here. It's nice to have you.
Thank you.
And thank you for allowing us to be here. Shaga Ish, will you please introduce yourself?
Anthony Johnson, you hut do sock. Chalk na hut at thee. Kagwantan, I hut. Duck name ton yuddy, I hut. Kagwantan, Dutch hun, I hut. Gunnish cheesh ache, isa ache. Thank you. My clinket name is Shaga Ish. My English name is Anthony Johnson. I'm an eighth grader, and I am an eagle from the Kagwantan clan. I am the child of the Duck Dainton and the grandchild of the Kagwantan. Thank you for listening to me.
Klingit kenach de hunyuchat duasak, chak na chatsati, chukinadi ayachat, linadi yadi ayachat, kiksadi derchant ayachat, gurchish. My clinket name is Date Hoon. My English name is RJ Diedrickson. I'm in sixth grade. I'm child of Clean AD and the Raven Dog Salmon Clan and grandchild of the Kiksuddy, the Raven Frog.
I'm from the Shangu Katie Clan. I come from the household from the Sun, Kagwantan, Yeti Ayakut. I'm in eighth grade. Goodness, cheese.
It's great to have you all on the show. Shaga Ish, tell me about one of your favorite parts of the Kuik.
My favorite part has to be the food.
Tell us about it. What are some of your favorite dishes?
My favorite is probably the rice, half smoked. The mixed berries are traditional berries. And then the fried bread and hare necks.
Okay. Date Hoon, what is one of your favorite parts of the Kuik?
Also definitely the food and then probably the song and dance. We do a lot of like traditional song and dance, and it's fun when like some of the audience comes and like dances with us. It's very fun.
Like David? We'll get David dancing over here.
Yeah, we'll get him dancing.
David Purdy, our engineer. Kosh Tana, what is your favorite part?
Definitely the food, and when we all just come in and dance.
Shaga Ish, tell me a little bit about some of the preparation that you've been doing this year.
This year I've been helping doing the weaving. Auntie, she showed me how to make a
pendant.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
And remind us which auntie?
Auntie Heather.
Okay.
And it's, so we make this, we could like show it and we just weave and, yeah. So, and then the other one was probably getting back into my groove because I've been gone for a little bit and I'm just now getting back. And I'm planning not to leave ever again.
Okay.
So this is interesting. I have to add to this. So Shaga Ish has been in Angoon. But something really interesting and really amazing is, so he's been one of my students since as long as I can remember. And he moved to Angoon this year, which was a heartbreak for all of us. But it just so happened to be that I did a dual credit class this year with Gnaote Marsha Hotch. And we dialed in with Angoon. So he was actually in the same class as me again, our classes together. So we had Angoon and Huna dialed in doing a teleconference through Zoom and presenting together. So he's just recently back within the last 2 weeks, and or 3 weeks, I guess, now, and back in. So he came back into class, and he was doing some weaving and things, but he's been over in Angoon all year.
And he's back finding his groove. Sounds like.
Ready to eat, huh?
Yeah. Date Hoon, how have preparations been going for you?
I was also in my mom, Heather Powell, I was also in her class. We made a little bit bigger, like bags. We didn't get to finish them because we only get 2 weeks. And we've practiced, we've only had a couple morning assemblies this year. We usually have them every single Monday morning, but we haven't, since my mom's with my baby brother most of the time, we haven't really been able to sing and dance. But almost every Monday we are in the gym singing and dancing, either into the gym or out to the out back to class.
How does that feel for you when you're singing and dancing?
It's exciting and fun because we have a lot of songs that I'm just used to now, and it's kind of like connecting with people and like with the song itself, and it's very fun.
Okay. Kashtina, how have you been preparing for this year?
Down in workshop, we made looms so we can make our
yishkuu.
And with my Auntie Carol, we are making at-oo, our own blanket for deer.
Okay. Are there challenges, Shaga Ish, are there challenges getting ready for Kuwik? Are there parts that make you nervous or are hard?
Yes. Some of them are like, I used to have social anxiety, and I didn't used to socialize as much as I do now. And I just started open up to everybody. And I really, the first time I've actually went to my Auntie Heather, because I was just some person closed in a box. My Auntie Heather, she helped me open up my box. She helped me do my speech. She helped me make my pendant, and she showed me how to just be there and be myself and help me open up to everybody.
Date Hoon, how about you? Challenges, anything that you think about going into the Kuwik?
Most of the stuff is also like just being around a lot of people. That can be very nerve-wracking. But once we start singing and dancing, it just completely changes everything because the whole mood changes and everybody just opens up.
Kashtina, any challenges for you that you've overcome in thinking about the Kuwik?
Well, last year I drummed most of the songs and I felt like nervous the first few songs, but after that I just got used to it.
So I do understand that there will be some students coming over from Juneau as well to join you for the Kuwik. For students that haven't had a chance to make it, would you invite them? And if you would invite them to come see the Kuwik, what would you say to them? What should they come and look for in it?
I would say to them, in my words, that they should really come over and watch this Kuwik and come another year and then start participating, like taking steps. But like, they should really, if some students don't be able to make it, there's always another chance because this would be keep on going. This is one of our traditions that we like to do. We love it. The community loves it, the school loves it, and the students in Juneau will love it.
Same question, Date Hoon.
I think another thing is, so a lot of people say that you want to look up like the people older than you, but like if some of the Juno kids come over here and they see what the kids younger, like second, third, the kindergarten, preschoolers, and they see what they do, it's pretty like phenomenal, and it just shows how much like they've learned throughout, like just having great teachers like my mom, Auntie Carol and Auntie Duffy, just having great teachers. And another thing I would say to the Juno kids would be just be present and just watch everything and even try to participate, because that's another thing.
Goodness, geez. Kashtana, do you have a message for maybe an eighth grader over in Juno?
I don't really know much students there, but if they couldn't make it, then there's always another year that they can come and watch what we do this week.
All right. Goodness, geez. Heather Powell, how does it feel sitting here with your students and your community members?
You know, it's pretty amazing to listen to them. Listen to them talk about how they support each other. Because I think that's, if there's one thing that I can tell you between Auntie Duffy and Auntie Carol and I, it's that we support each other in everything we're doing. And for me, I'm the youngest and the newest one to be a part of this. And so I feel very honored to be a part. And when I see the road that these young ones are on, it makes me feel really proud to be a part. And to know that these generations of teachings that are behind them, these students, they've all done their skits. They've all learned their singing and their dancing and their songs and their lineage. They've given their fifth grade speeches. They've been through all of these pieces, and now they're moving into this next phase of dual credit, university credit. You know, Huna City Schools is currently the only school in the universe that requires Tlingit language as a graduation requirement. And to know that these students are well on their way to at some point taking our positions and making them their own. I always hoped that when I worked into a position where I was able to be teaching and learning every day, that someday I'd work myself out of a job. And I think that our future is very, very bright.
Ganesh Chish, Shaga Ish, Date Hoon, Kashtana, Heather Powell. Ganesh Chish, thank you all for being on Huna Afternoon.
Ganesh Chish.
This is KTOO Public Media's Huna Afternoon. I'm your host today, Scott Burton. I have a very special guest here on the show. Our next guest, who is known in the community, among other things, as Auntie Carol Williams. She's been here watching the show with the youth who were just on, and she's a culture bearer. She has been teaching for over 40 years. Auntie Carol Williams, welcome to the show.
Ganach chish.
Thank you for allowing us to be here. Can you please introduce yourself?
Ganach chish anyat gusani. Hashil has yuchatangi. Yeduk do de yuchatu a sauk. Ka chendus aids you do a sauk. Doctain tan shawu ayahat. Chukenedi yadi ayahat. Ya e ish kauk saka you do a sauk. Ka kash diyao de ka you do a sauk. Ya e tla skanda art you do a sauk. Ya a shil. Kash kulkin, you do a sauk, ka tsadisek, you do a sauk. Kagwantan deshan, kluk na khadi deshan, kik sadi deshan, kluka khadi deshan, yelku de hit.
Goodness, geez. Can you start by telling us a little bit about your experience teaching Tlingit culture and language here in the schools?
When I first started working in this school, I could see that as I think the idea of learning the culture came from my mother when she said, my mother's Mamie Williams, she said, this culture is a beautiful culture. We have such a gift, and it is right in us. But it's up to us to open up that gift. And I'm so glad that I was attentive to what she was saying, because I started to learn from her, learn from my parents, and I started to pick up the what our elders were saying. And that's what our goal has always been, is to help the children find the beauty that is inside them.
And what was that like, bringing the culture into the school?
Well, wonderfully, a lot of the staff supported everything that we were doing and could see the goal. And our goal was to teach them the importance of who they are. And when what we were doing became very popular, then more of our students and staff that were not of our culture wanted to be involved. And that became more delightful, because to me it's a step toward peace. If you learn about someone else, if you learn about how other people are, if you learn other people's traditions and values and what they keep alive in their culture, then we're opening ourselves up to each other, and there can only be a peaceful end. I like that.
Were there challenges for you along the way?
I have to say that the challenge has always been the same. As much as we do, we wish we could do more.
Okay. You were sitting here at the end of the table when our last round of guests were introducing themselves and talking about Kuik. What sort of emotions were going through you as they spoke?
The most delightful part that I enjoy is when I see that they've grasped it, and they're demonstrating the beauty of the Tlingit culture, and then they're starting to portray it. But it, to me, it's they found themselves. They found the beauty, the essence of who they are, and it is coming out. And you can see it with the way that they'll sing, or the special moves that they've created when they dance, when they work hard at learning the language, and when they participate with the song and dance, you know, all of that. We know we didn't waste our time. It becomes wonderful.
You've been teaching for over 40 years, is that right? What might be your advice to other teachers who are working with Indigenous students?
Make no mistake, I'm not a fluent Tlingit speaker, but what I am is I've learned, and then I've been willing to learn, and like other cultures, I'm like a hollow reed, willing to teach it to someone else, willing to pass it on to others. And we grasp the wonderfulness of this culture and make sure that it is relayed to our children. We know full well that they are the future leaders. And if we want them to have a good value system, then we want those good values to be handed on.
Thinking about the Kuik, what are you going to be looking for? Probably everything. But what are a few parts that really make you proud?
The parts that make me proud is how well what we're doing has been accepted by the parents and grandparents, the aunts and uncles. They've worked. It isn't just a child standing alone there singing and dancing. The uncle maybe has carved a paddle. The aunties maybe have created headbands and regalia. Someone made them moccasins. Someone bought them a pendant. Everyone worked together to make the day special, and not just for a few of the children, but, you know, for their children, for their grandchildren's, so that, and it becomes wonderful because we see how what we've done has helped them to be strong inside.
What would you like to see for the future of education in Huna?
Well, if we are to take what we do in and we perpetuate our value system, then maybe we should learn other cultures. And in the past, we've learned a bit more of the Yupik culture. We've learned a little bit more from the Alutiiq people, from the Tsimshian. And maybe there are more people that are willing to teach, willing to be a part of what we're doing. And why can't this be universal?
Goodness, geez. Carol Williams, it's an absolute honor to be speaking with you. And thank you for your time. Is there anything that I'm missing, anything that you would like to share with our listeners about the Kuik or education? Huna?
We've taken the time to show our people, our community, the beauty of the children. And that's what we want you to see, that even if they've been maybe a little bit shy or stage fright, that they are willing to keep going. And when you see them and they're doing their best, you know that one day they're going to step in our shoes and take our place, and you know that the beauty that is in them is going to come out.
Carol Williams, longtime educator, culture bearer, known to many as Auntie Carol Williams. Gunach Chish.
Gunach Chish. Thank you. Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Gunach Chish to the community of Huna and all of our guests. To see images from the show and the Kuik, go to ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Thank you to our underwriters, Sentinel Coffee, Hanson Gress, and the Icy Strait Lodge.